Welcome back to the News at Noon. County Road 00 is closed today until 4 p.m. for culvert replacement. This closure is from State Highway 60 to Oak Ridge Drive. This is in Orion Township and includes sections 21, 28, 29, and 32. Thank you, Derek Brown from the Richland County Highway Department, for that update. Governor Tony Evers recently announced the allocation of more than $19.7 million in Community Development Block Grant, or CDBG, public facilities funding to support critical infrastructure improvements across 20 Wisconsin communities. These grants are intended to bolster local projects that residents rely on daily, such as repairing roads, upgrading drainage systems, and ensuring the integrity of water and sewer networks. By investing in these essential services, the state aims to enhance the quality of life and safety for individuals in low to moderate income areas, particularly in smaller towns and cities with populations under 50,000. However, the future of this long-standing program is now in jeopardy due to President Trump's proposed federal fiscal year 2027 budget. The administration's fiscal plan calls for the complete elimination of the CDBG program, a move that would halt federal support for local community development and housing efforts nationwide. Governor Evers has expressed strong opposition to these proposed cuts, characterizing them as an attempt to undermine the ability of local governments to address their most pressing infrastructure and housing needs. In response, the governor has urged Wisconsin's congressional delegation to take bipartisan action to protect the program and ensure that this vital funding remains a permanent fixture in the next federal budget. The Wisconsin State Patrol, in collaboration with local law enforcement agencies, is spearheading the annual Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign, August 19th through September 7th. This initiative aims to enhance safety during the Labor Day holiday weekend by focusing on education and enforcement to prevent impaired driving. With nearly 7,000 crashes involving alcohol or drugs in Wisconsin last year, accounting for one-third of all traffic fatalities, officials emphasize that strong partnerships between motorists and authorities are essential to saving lives. A primary focus of the campaign is encouraging drivers to plan ahead before celebrations begin. Responsible choices include designating a sober driver, scheduling ride shares, or utilizing public transportation such as buses or taxis. Community members are also urged to intervene by taking keys away from impaired individuals and reporting dangerous driving by calling 911. Planning for a safe ride home is not only a matter of public safety, but also a way to avoid the devastating personal and community impacts of a crash. Beyond the immediate physical dangers, impaired driving carries severe legal and financial penalties. An OWI conviction in Wisconsin can cost up to $10,000 when factoring in fines, court costs, insurance increases, and vehicle repairs. Motorists also face the loss of their driver's license and vehicle. While specialized enforcement and task forces work year-round to monitor the roads, the campaign serves as a critical reminder that individual responsibility is the most effective tool in preventing the more than 20,000 annual OWI convictions in the state. On August 19th, law enforcement agencies executed a search warrant at a residence located at 301 West Main Street in the village of Montford. The operation was a collaborative effort involving deputies from the Grant County Sheriff's Office, the Iowa County Sheriff's Office, the Southwest Wisconsin Emergency Response Team, and the Richland, Iowa Grant Drug Task Force. The multi-agency operation stemmed from two distinct investigations. The primary inquiry, led by the Iowa County Investigations Team, focused on 21-year-old Christian Jarrett. This investigation concerned a juvenile victim who reportedly received sexually explicit photographs via social media. As a result of this probe, Jarrett has been charged with selling harmful material to a child, no age, that's K-N-O-W, a felony under Wisconsin statute. During the execution of the initial warrant, officers observed items that led to the application and execution of a second search warrant, specifically regarding illegal drug activity. This Grant County investigation resulted in multiple arrests and referrals. Ashton Johnson, 19, of Montfort, was arrested for maintaining a drug house, possession with intent to deliver THC, and bail jumping. Linda Johnson, 72, also of Montfort, was arrested for maintaining a drug house, party to the crime of possession of narcotic drugs, party to the crime of possession of cocaine, and bail jumping. And Christopher Johnson, 44, of Montfort, will be referred to the Grant County District Attorney's Office with recommendations for charges of possession of narcotic drugs and possession of cocaine. Persons arrested or referred for charges by the Grant County Sheriff's Office are presumed innocent until proven guilty by a court of law. An arrest only indicates probable cause exists to bring formal charges. The names of victims and witnesses have been withheld. A lot has been said about the proposed BECI 765 kilovolt power lines project, and still, many landowners feel as though they have very little information. Mid-Continent Grid Solutions will be hosting open houses throughout the area to share information and hear from the public. The first of these will be in Richland Center, Monday, August 24th, from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Richland Center High School. That same day, Monday, August 24th, there will be an open house in Gaze Mills at the Gaze Mills Community Center from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. In Sauk County, there will be an open house in Baraboo Tuesday, August 25th at the UW Platteville Baraboo Lang Center from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. State Representative Travis Tranel, who serves as the Assembly Agriculture Committee Chair and is a dairy farmer, joined a group of state and local officials Monday, August 17th at the Retreat Sportsman's Club in Vernon County. The town hall meeting was dedicated to discussing the proposed Maribel 765 kV transmission line. This is a different project, a project that has sparked significant discussion throughout the region. The event, sponsored by the Coalition Against Maribel 765, served as a forum for elected officials, community leaders, and local residents to examine the potential impact of the 139-mile project. Attendees focused on how the development might affect southwest Wisconsin and the environmentally sensitive Driftless region. Current projections indicate that Dairyland Power Cooperative and Gridliance Heartland will likely submit applications for approval to the Wisconsin Public Service Commission in the fall of this year. During the meeting, Representative Tranel spoke to the hundreds in attendance, emphasizing his belief that Wisconsin requires comprehensive energy reform to manage such large-scale projects effectively. He noted that gubernatorial candidate Tom Tiffany has already committed to such reform and challenged the Democratic colleagues on the panel to seek a similar commitment from David Crowley. Tranel expressed concern that without a structured reform, projects that local communities find illogical will continue to move forward. The discussion took place within a broader context of concern regarding the scale of regional transmission expansions, including the BECI mega transmission line, which could span 190 to 220 miles. Critics, including the No 765 Line organization, have raised alarms about a perceived lack of adequate landowner notification and have questioned the experience of out-of-state developers. There are ongoing questions regarding the planning process, with community members seeking more transparent mapping and detailed routing information before applications are finalized. The City of Richland Center Public Works Committee is scheduled to meet Thursday, August 20th at 5:30 p.m. in the council chambers of the municipal building. The committee is set to address several critical discussion and action items. Key among these is the recommendation for the award of the 2026 street maintenance bid and the consideration of the 2026 dike inspection contract. Additional discussion topics include capital improvement planning, a comprehensive review of current snow removal practices, and an informational overview regarding the proposed 765 kilovolt transmission line project. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee will convene Monday, August 24th at 5 p.m. in the Richland County Boardroom of the Courthouse. The committee will address several significant items, including an update on the wage scale, discussions regarding the 2027 county health insurance, and a review of the preliminary 2027 county draft budget. Additionally, the committee will deliberate on ATV and UTV usage in the Ash Creek Forest. The agenda also includes a closed session where members may discuss the employment, compensation, or performance evaluation of the county administrator, followed by a potential return to open session to take action on any items from the closed session. The meeting will conclude after addressing correspondence and future agenda items. Virtual attendance options are available. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. A Red Cross blood drive will be held tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Cornerstone Church in Spring Green. There will also be a blood drive Monday, August 24th from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Holy Family Catholic Church in Laval. Appointments may be made by calling 800-RED-CROSS, visiting redcrossblood.org, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Walk-ins are always welcome. Welcome back to the News at Noon. Here is Mr. Ken Feed.
A photograph of the construction crew at Lawton Tunnel. It was also called Tunnelville on September 6th. 1897. And now for Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to MPL.org, the digital collection at the Richland County History Room, ID number 5385. The tunnel of mention was what was called the Kickapoo Valley and Northern Railway. It was also called the Kickapoo Stump Dodger, and that's according to Recollection Wisconsin, traveling back in time, a Lafarge history. It was known as the Kickapoo Valley and Northern Railroad in southwest Wisconsin, and often referred to very simply as the Stump Dodger, or at times the Kickapoo Flyer. This line ran through Wisconsin's Driftless region, and it served a logging industry with notable a tunnel being built in 1897. It was the Kickapoo Valley and Northern Railroad that operated in 1889 with a local account. The railroad came to town in the spring of 1892, and it arrived generating a depot, a stockyard, and a tobacco warehouse. That was in Soldiers Grove. This railroad was abandoned in 1939. The Stump Dodger ran through the following communities. It started in Waseca, and for 52 miles of track, it went on to Lafarge, Wisconsin. It served Waseca, Steuben, Barnum, Petersburg, Bell Center, Gays Mills, Soldiers Grove, Reedstown, Viola, and Lafarge. Signs of the route remain in some areas. The train that once ran on the tracks of the now-abandoned railroad bed was nicknamed the Stump Dodger. It made its final scheduled run August 17, 1939. The Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Paul, and Pacific Railroad was the owner at that time. The railroad was serving agriculture and forestry needs in southwestern Wisconsin, primarily for the Kickapoo Valley. Notably, the digging of the tunnel was costly. There were 34 bridges along the route. This is taken from a Sherwin-Gillette photo that completed the tunnel near Lafarge, and it was labeled with a large sign, Private Property. The tunnel is now dismantled, and only the history remains. Listen next week for the history of Richland County covering the Kickapoo Railroad. That version, a Lafarge historian, Brad Steinmetz, who related directly to that week's history and the story you've just heard about Tunnelville Tunnel.
Today's History Moment is a service of the Richland County Historical Society. Members of the Historical Society enjoy reminiscing with the Achy Breaky newsletter. A strong membership base keeps the Historical Society viable and active by promoting the study and appreciation of local history, the sponsorship of programs devoted to local history, and the maintenance and access to the Achy School Museum. Annual memberships are just $10 for an individual or family, $20 for a business, or $100 for a lifetime individual or family membership. Memberships can be mailed to Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, apartment number 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. You can also learn more at richlandcountyhistoricalsociety.weebly.com.
Thank you, Ken. The Highland Mobile Food Pantry will be in Highland Monday, August 24th at 726 Main Street. This will be a drive-through pantry starting at 4 p.m. with no registration. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has recently verified that the virus causing epizootic hemorrhagic disease, commonly known as EHD, has been identified in two wild deer located in Washington County. These confirmed cases were found specifically near the village of Richfield and the city of West Bend. The investigation was initiated following multiple reports from local landowners and residents who observed clusters of dead deer, many of which were discovered in or near bodies of water. While the sight of such clusters can be distressing to the local community, wildlife experts emphasize that the state's deer herd remains robust and that these localized events typically do not result in long-term negative impacts on the overall population. EHD is a viral condition transmitted to deer through the bites of small insects known as midges or biting gnats. The disease follows a seasonal pattern primarily occurring between August and October and naturally concludes with the arrival of the first hard frost, which eliminates the midge population. It is important for the public to understand that EHD does not pose any health risk to humans. The virus cannot be transmitted to people through midge bites, the handling of infected animals, or the consumption of venison from deer that were carrying the virus. Infected deer often exhibit symptoms such as excessive foaming at the mouth, general weakness, and a lack of fear towards humans. Because the virus causes a high fever, deer are frequently drawn to water sources to cool themselves, leading to the common occurrence of carcasses being found near lakes and streams. That information from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The DNR maintains an active monitoring system and encourages the public to report sightings of symptomatic or deceased deer. While the agency prioritizes testing for new counties or specific new locations, all reports are cataloged to help track the progression and impact of the outbreak. Reports can be filed through the official DNR online sick or dead wildlife reporting form via email or by telephone. For safety reasons, officials advise against handling wildlife carcasses as they may harbor other pathogens. If a carcass must be moved for disposal, the use of gloves and strict adherence to hygiene protocols are strongly recommended to ensure public safety. The Wisconsin real estate landscape demonstrated significant momentum in July, marking the second consecutive month of healthy growth in home sales. According to the latest data, existing home sales surged by 8.1% compared to the previous year, a trend that has placed considerable upward pressure on property values across the state. This increased activity pushed the statewide median home price to $360,000, representing a 6.8% rise over July of last year. Amy Curler, the 2026 chair of the Board of Directors for the Wisconsin Realtors Association, characterized the current season as a solid summer for housing. She noted that the combined performance of June and July represents the strongest first 2 months of peak summer sales since 2022, a notable feat given the higher mortgage rate environment that began a few years ago. This statewide strength is reflected in year-to-date figures as well, with sales up 4.9% and median prices increasing 6.2% to $345,000 for the first 7 months of the year. Despite the rise in transactions, the state continues to grapple with a persistent seller's market. While total and new listings saw modest gains of 1.6% and 1.3% respectively, the robust demand quickly absorbed this inventory. The months of supply currently sits at 4.2 months, well below the six-month threshold typically required for a balanced market. Tom Larson, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Realtors Association, pointed out that Wisconsin has technically remained in a seller's market for 9 years. He observed that while high mortgage rates and price pressures have eroded affordability, demand remains remarkably strong, particularly among millennials who have adapted to the new reality of rates between 6% and 7%. The inventory crunch is most pronounced in metropolitan areas, where supply is as low as 3.8 months. In contrast, rural counties are seeing a more balanced environment with 5.9 months of inventory. This scarcity, combined with rising prices, has caused the Wisconsin Housing Affordability Index to fall 4.1% over the past year, even with slight improvements in median family income and minor fluctuations in mortgage rates. The rapid appreciation of home values has kept affordability near record lows. Today's winners in the Grace Calendar Raffle. These are both $50 winners on ticket 1486 from Spring Green, Jen Coppernall, and on ticket 2960, Mr. Tom Andrew from Lafarge. Congratulations to both of you.